Well, greetings, everybody. With Bob Christopher and Richard Piper, I'm Bob Davis, and this is Basic Gospel, a media ministry dedicated to helping you hear, believe, and live the good news of Jesus Christ. If you have a question, something you'd like to discuss, give us a call right now, 844-322-2742. The number good in the U.S. and in Canada, 844-322-2742. It's Basic Gospel, everybody, and here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. You know, many people are out today probably buying gifts for tomorrow's Valentine's Day celebration. And boy, our country and really the world today really revels in this notion of romantic love. And, you know, there's movies all about it, romantic comedies, romantic movies. And we just want to live our lives in those romantic comedies. And we want everything to be happily ever after. Yeah. And all of that, but romantic love is something that kind of comes and goes in any relationship, and you don't really see a lot of that talked about in the Word of God at all. See the Song of Solomon, and there's some incredible prose in there about relationship and love and marriage, and but beyond that, you don't see much about the romantic aspect of marriage, of relationships, and that sort of thing. What you do see is a love that transcends that yes. can keep you together when the road gets a little rocky, when the roller coaster starts to happen as far as a relationship is concerned. And that's really where we need to focus our attention and our time and really get established in that kind of love. Because in any given relationship, there are going to be some hard times. There are going to be some rough patches along the way. So how do you get through those? Well, in today's world, the pattern of this world is just to walk away. If it gets too hard, let's just walk away and cite irreconcilable differences as the reason. That's just the way of this world. But God has given us something that ensures us that we can always reconcile with those we're in relationship with, whether it's friendship, whether it's brothers and sisters in Christ, but really in marriage. And that's a love that transcends it all. It's a love that is given to us directly from God. In the person of the Holy Spirit who's alive living in us, as Romans 5 says, he's poured his love into our hearts. Well, we have something there that we can pass on to one another, even when our feelings, those romantic feelings, aren't at their height, even when they're non-existent.
Yeah, even when you dislike each other.
that's exactly right. There's a love there that can get us through those rough patches. And Paul talked about that in 1 Corinthians 13, love is patient, love is kind. Boy, do we ever need patience in relationships. Yeah. Do we ever need to act kindly one toward another? And that's not just, you know, a disposition toward one another or a calm, kind voice, although that's certainly helpful in yes. relationships. Kindness is doing something that's going to benefit the other party. That's what kindness is all about, doing things, tangible things that are going to be of benefit to the other person. That's what kindness is all about. When God so loved us, he acted in kindness by saving us, by regenerating us, giving us new life. That's beneficial to us. Yes. We were dead. We needed life. What did God do? Well, he did an act of kindness. He made us alive together with Christ Jesus. So in relationships, what does love do? It does acts of kindness that are going to benefit the other person in that relationship. So that's the kind of love that we really need to be established in. And as we're established in that, we have something that can hold every relationship together and actually move it through those rough patches in such a way that it comes out better than before.
Yeah.
That's what this gospel message is all about. And you've seen that, Richard, in relationships as you have counseled people and helped young couples, you know, in premarital counseling. You've seen what the power of God's love can actually do in a relationship.
Yeah, most people who are having trouble in a relationship, whether they're courting each other or they're actually married, have gotten the order of things reversed. They start with the physical and say, well, you've done something I don't like, or you've done something I do like. And they hope that the physical thing migrates its way into their souls and somehow love results. It never works that way. You, like we were talking about yesterday, explaining how getting your needs met in Jesus Christ first solves a whole bunch of personal issues.
Yes.
And then you can come together as a married couple and solve your issues spiritually and let that flow through your soul and then be expressed physically. Physical is always the last expression in the step of many steps of love. And when you can get a couple talking in those terms, and most of the time they don't talk while they're talking to me. You know, we talk about the issues, and then they go home and they talk, and they come back and say, oh,
yes,
there's something different about this. And yes, it's a challenge, but it's worth it. And you begin to see the Holy Spirit informing every aspect of their lives together.
Yeah, so if you want a solid marriage, if you want good relationships, get grounded, get established in the truth of God's love. Understand what His love for you is all about, and then you'll have something to pass on. As Jesus said, it's better to give than to receive, and that He came into this world not to be served, but to serve. We find our highest fulfillment in serving others in love, and especially within the context of marriage. So if I can receive from the Lord, receive His love, His unconditional acceptance, meaning and purpose to life, the fruit of His life lived out in me, as I pass that on to others, I'm going to reach the heights of what being human is all about.
Yeah. Well, this is Basic Gospel, and this is good stuff, guys. Thanks for sharing that. And, of course, our new CD by Bob Christopher dovetails into and underscores everything we're talking about. It's called Established in Truth. But we'll remind you also that Basic Gospel is a listener-supported program. And to say thanks for your support this month, we're going to send you a copy of this new CD, again, Established in Truth. It's our gift back to you when you donate to help keep Basic Gospel on the air and online every day. So to make your gift and receive your copy, just click donate at basicgospel.net or phone your gift to 844-322-2742. Again, that's 844-322-2742 or again online at basicgospel.net. We'd love for you to partner with us here at Basic Gospel. Well, guys, let's hear from Diana, our new friend in Idaho.
Hi, my name is Diana from Idaho. And my sister Vicki called me and she said, her daughter believes in evolution, and she's Holy Spirit-filled, and every time she tries to talk to her daughter, she just hits a brick wall, and she just shuts her down. And I just thank you for answering this, because my sister needs some help, and God bless you. I love you in Jesus' name. Keep up the good work. Your light's shining brightly, and I love y'all. Y'all, God's hands are free, and I love you. Take care. God bless. Bye-bye.
That's great.
Well, thank you, Diana. And boy, that's a question that's being posed and asked and discussed and debated, you know, all across the world today. Mm-hmm. I mean, as science and particularly atheistic scientists speak more and more, they just bring about more and more confusion in this world. But none of them can answer the question about origins. You know, they can take it back so far and say, here's what we think happened, but they can never cross that gap into what brought this about. Mm-hmm. You know, what was the source of all of this to begin with? And the Bible has the answer for that. It's in the beginning, God. So God is the source of everything. God spoke and this world came into being. That's just the way it happened. And science will never be able to answer that question of origins. Now, one of the things that is happening out in the scientific community is they've adopted this view of materialism, that there's no such thing as spiritual realities. So God is spirit. So he's not material. God is spirit. So therefore, a vast majority of scientists would say, well, then God can't exist because there's nothing material about him. So everything is materialistic, and we can explain everything with what we can see and touch and physically hold. So there's a material answer. So what they believe about gods, the gods that man have created in their own minds throughout human history, is that those gods were simply gods of the gaps, gaps in our human understanding. So I don't know how this all happens, so we'll create a god that'll fill that gap until we can find an answer. So when they think about the one true God of the Bible, he's just a placeholder. He's just a god of the gap, filling that spot until science can actually answer those questions with material answers. Now, they're not going to be able to do it. It just will not happen. Why? Because there's a reality. God is spirit. He's the one that spoke this world into being, and he's made himself known to us through all kinds of natural ways. We can look at nature, we can look at creation, and we can say there has to be someone behind that. There has to be an intelligence that brought that into being. It just can't randomly happen. So there's all kinds of evidence in nature, and then we see the ultimate evidence in the person of Christ, where God became man. And so what we can know about God is revealed to us in the person of Jesus. So in any conversation with somebody who says, I believe in evolution, I think your attack, your game plan, your strategy is to talk about Jesus and say, let me ask you, do you believe Jesus actually existed? Do you think this is just a made-up story, that he's somebody that religion has created? Or do you actually believe that Jesus existed? And now, if you believe he existed, then would it be make good sense to take a look at what he said? Because obviously, he's impacted the world like none other. I mean, there's never been a human personality like Jesus that has impacted the world like he has, and there will never be one like him. So with that being the case, doesn't it make sense to take a look at what he said, what he taught? And as you kind of move down that path, then they're forced to either deny that he existed or to reject what he claimed about himself. And that becomes the real issue. That is the sticking point. What do you say about Jesus? So, Diana, in your conversations, focus those conversations around the person and work of Jesus. Don't try to outwit them on a scientific level. If they believe in evolution, that's just where they are right now. That's the pattern of the world today. That's the common belief out there. So don't try to get them to reject evolution. Get them to take a look at Jesus Christ.
Well, it is Basic Gospel with Bob Christopher and Richard Pfeiffer. I'm Bob Davis. I'm glad that you're with us today, friends. I want to remind you and invite you to join the live video stream every day on Basic Gospel. You can join us on Facebook or YouTube, either of those channels. Just come on in and see what goes on inside the studio every day. Right now, we have open lines for the studio at 844-322-2742. If you have something you'd like to talk about, a Bible question perhaps, give us a call right now. Overnight, we got a call from Scott, and we'd like to hear from him right now.
Hi, my name is Scott, calling from Kalispell, Montana. My question concerns why the tribe of Manasseh was split into two tribes, and what is the scripture reference to point me to? Okay, I appreciate it. God bless you. Thank you. Goodbye.
Nice to hear from Scott.
Yes, indeed. Interesting question, because, you know, you see this list of the 12 sons of Jacob, and then you see it later listed, and Joseph isn't a part of that, and it's like, what's happened? And then some of the lists are different from other lists, and depending on where it is in the Bible. So, Richard, walk us through that. Give us some clarity on how this all worked out.
Okay. I'm going to refer you to the book of Joshua and the first chapter in Joshua. He's actually quoting something that Moses said. I think it's in Deuteronomy 3, but it's easier and more succinct right here. Israel was about to cross the Jordan and take possession of the land. And one of the things that had been decided is that 2.5 tribes would exist on the far side of the Jordan. Okay, and that was Reuben, Gad, and half of Manasseh. The other half of Manasseh was going to be on the Canaan side, or the Promised Land side of the Jordan. It was simple as that.
So the Jordan River was going to split the two.
Was going to split that tribe in half. And it's not because people were bad and they weren't going to be able to go into the land. God had promised them all of this property, if you will. And so the agreement was that the soldiers of Reuben, Gad, and this half-tribe of Manasseh would march with the rest of the tribes as they took over the land. And while they were gone, God promised to protect their wives and their children and their cattle, and that's exactly what he did. Nobody touched those 2.5 tribes as long as their fighting men were helping with the rest of the conquest. And then when they were able to come back home, and the way God describes it is that all of the tribes, all of the land had been given rest, then they could come home and protect their own. And it's a wonderful picture of what God had chosen to do through the children of Israel in order to protect them, to bring Jesus through them, to help the rest of us. But it's a very simple thing, a very historical thing, and tribe of Manasseh was split just because they were.
Yeah, just for location. Now, Manasseh was a substitute for Joseph.
One.
His tribe.
Ephraim
was the other. Mm-hmm. So his two sons. Two sons became kind of the heads of those two tribes that made up the one tribe that Joseph would have had.
Correct.
So that's what that's all about. So, well, Scott, thank you for your question.
Yes, indeed. We love hearing from you, our listeners. And if you can't get to the phone while we're on the air live, you can call 844-322-2742 anytime, day or night, and leave your question in your own voice. Or you can drop us an email at bob@basicgospel.net. Either way, we'd love to hear from you. Overnight, we got this, so let's listen.
We wanted to know what your thought is on maybe able to lose your salvation. Thank you.
Well, we get that question all the time. Yes. Can a person lose their salvation? And certainly there's a lot of people that profess to know Jesus and then walk away. And, you know, I think a lot of folks would say, well, see, they were saved and they've walked away and now they've lost their salvation. But the reality is that they, as John put it in his first letter, they went away from us because they were never a part of us.
Right. Yeah.
So they were just, you know, professors. They just gave lip service to a salvation experience. There was never genuine faith. There was never genuine conversion. Life was not given to that person. Now we see that all the time. We see that in the parable of the sower and the different soils and how the soil receives the seed. And there's only one that brings about real salvation. The others, they may receive and may be joyful for a while, but when the pressures of the world mount, you know, their real heart shows in those situations, a heart of unbelief. And that's what we have to understand. So for those who have gone from unbelief to belief in Jesus, and that's a heart transformation.
Yes.
That's not just saying, hey, one day I didn't believe this set of facts, and now today I believe this set of facts. That's not what belief is all about or faith is all about. Faith is a heart transformation. Something happens deep inside the human spirit, the human soul, that is changed. First of all, the spirit goes from death to life. Christ Jesus comes to live within the human spirit. Now, we are one spirit with Jesus. So his life has become our life, and his life is indestructible. So if his life is indestructible, then our new life in Christ is indestructible as well. And so our heart is now centered in Jesus Christ. That is the transformation. That's all the result of regeneration, new life, being born again of the Spirit. Now, we can't go back. Once we've crossed over from death to life, we can't go back from life to death, because the cross guarantees it. The cross took away the thing that killed us to begin with, and that was sin. So Jesus Christ took away all of our sins. He took them away forever. He sent them away as far as the east is from the west. He remembers them no more. So the very thing that killed us to begin with has been taken out of the picture. So we can't go back from life to death. The cross of Jesus Christ guarantees it. So if a person is truly saved, has truly received the life of Jesus Christ, that is a permanent, eternal transaction. And when he appears, when he comes back, we're going to appear with him. That's our great hope. That's our great assurance. That's our great security in the Lord Jesus.
So when you meet someone, or if you know someone who your whole life you thought they were one of the bright lights, you know, they were the person who was the most helpful at church. They always were in the choir or playing an instrument or leading Bible studies, and suddenly they flame out. Don't judge them. Don't say, well, you know, I guess they're just going to hell. They lost their salvation. No, realize that what is probably going on in their heads is the fact that the intellectual bankruptcy of a behavioral approach to God has finally gotten the best of them, and they have just quit because they don't know anything else to do. At that moment, they are infinitely susceptible to Jesus himself. Take them to Jesus. Give them the gospel. Watch their lives change.
Yes, indeed. Let's go to Grand Prairie, Texas, and talk to Tabitha. Hi, Tabitha.
Hello. I have a quick question. My husband has been showing me this space. I don't know if y'all seen it or not, but he was on YouTube, and there was a guy, he said that he sent his car into outer space. And
Elon Musk.
I don't know whether to believe that or what to tell my husband about that when it comes to God. He believes a lot in the Illuminati and stuff like that, and I try to tell him to focus on God instead.
Well, here's the deal, Tabitha. We've just got a brief amount of time. Elon Musk's achievement was quite an achievement of doing that rocket ship and that sort of thing. But it pales in comparison to what God did. God spoke, and the world came into being. We came into being. So, there's a lot more fascination with what God has done and how he's revealed himself in the person of Jesus Christ. So, Tabitha, let me do this. We have some wonderful resources, and I would like to put those in your hands, and I think they will be a great starting place for a conversation with your husband, okay? Can I send you those?
Okay, thank you.
Let me put you on hold, and we'll send them to you. Thanks for your call, Tabitha.
Yeah, okay. Glad to hear from Tabitha today.
Yes, indeed. Well, thank you so much. This is listener-supported radio. We have this wonderful CD we want to put in your hands, Established in Truth, a great resource that will help you really grow in the grace of God and your knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Yeah, we have a copy for you. All you need to do is click donate at basicgospel.net or phone your gift to 844-322-2742. Well, that's it for today, everybody. Now for Bob Christopher, for Richard Pfeiffer and the ministry team, Bob Davis inviting you to be with us again tomorrow at the same time for Basic Gospel. See you then. Bye-bye.